Good morning. If you have your Bibles, please open those up to Psalm 107. That's where we will begin this morning. And I want to echo what Scott said. If you're a guest with us, we are so glad and thrilled that you've been able to join us. In the Miller family, we're so glad to hear that the surgery went well, and we will continue to pray. It's always good to see our family here at Pleasant Valley, to come here and get encouragement and just to strengthen each other. And if you're a guest with us today, we'd love to get you connected and get you introduced to some great things here, especially our great family. But I do have some bad news for you, if you are a guest. First off is, I'm preaching today. And so I apologize to you. Many guests are going to walk out of here and think, well, that was lame. But just know this, I'm not the full-time guy. Praise God. And the members are smiling. They're like, yeah, praise God. I'm not the full-time guy. We have hired a new preaching minister named Jonathan Stormont. He'll be here in late July. And so if you walk out of here and say, well, that was lame, that's okay. Come back later because he is a lot better than I am. And so you will enjoy him. And so I apologize. I'm just kind of the guy that's on the list when nobody else wants to speak. They're like, just get Cash to do it, I guess. And so today is a Cash sermon, and I apologize. Second thing that I need to apologize to our guest about is you came on the wrong day. And you're like, what are you talking about? Well, last week, according to our new PVT intern, Braden Quisenberry, we were giving out free TVs to our first-time guests last week. But that deal has ended today, and I apologize. I'm so sorry. Matter of fact, that deal ended right when it left his mouth last week. But as Scott said, we may not have free TVs, but we do have a free guest bag to give you that's got a coffee mug in it. Yeah, and so TV, coffee mug, I mean, they're all the same. But we'd love to give you that in the back. But once again, so glad that you are here, and so glad that you've been able to join us. In Psalm 107, 1 through 9, once again, I want to read this passage again that Mayor Mike just read a second ago. And this is what it says. Oop. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. What stuck out to you right there? Maybe when Mayor Mike read it or when I read it, what jumped off the page at you? I think it's very interesting that when we, maybe you're in the auditorium together or in a class or in a life group and we read a passage of scripture or even an event or a miracle or even a whole chapter or book, different things jump off the page at different people. Years ago, I was able to sit down with my grandfather, who was an elder in the Palm Street Church of Christ in Lone Oak before he passed away, and we just talked to each other for hours upon hours, and we talked about life, we talked about the scriptures, and somewhere within that conversation, he said to me that he will start in the book of Genesis, and he'll read all the way through the scriptures, all the way to Revelation, and it'll take him about 3 or 4 months. And then he'll turn right back around and start over again. He will read through the Bible 4 or 5 times a year. And I remember as a college student, I looked at him and said, is that not boring? I mean, be honest. Does that not get old and get routine? And he said, absolutely not. He said, matter of fact, every time I read through the scriptures, I learn something new, or something new jumps out at me, or something else speaks to me. And so I would love to get the microphone and go around the auditorium. I'm not going to, but I'd love to go around the auditorium and see what you heard right now when we just read Psalm 107, 1 through 9. Many years ago, there was a big debate that hit social media. And man, it had people irritated with each other. It had people confused with each other. Some people were disagreeing and even arguing, and it kind of split us up into two separate groups. This group over here didn't understand this group, and this group was looking at this group like they were crazy. It was amazing. And the big debate was, what color is this dress? Because some people see this dress as black and blue. Some people see this dress as gold and white. Okay, for example, how many of you see this dress this morning as black and blue? Raise your hand. Okay? And y'all are getting looks from the people who see it as gold and white. Like, are you? Okay, how many of you see it gold and white? Raise your hand. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? I've always seen black and blue. Always seen black and blue. Does anybody see a color other than black and blue or gold and white by chance? Well, you're wrong if you do. I'll just tell you that. I've always seen black and blue. And just a few weeks ago, I showed this dress to my kids. I have three kids, for those who don't know. And I showed this dress to my kids. And I said, what color? Uh-oh, there goes my mic. Two of them said gold and white. And I was so disappointed in them. I was just like, really? And so I did what any good parent would do. I grounded them for a month. And I told them, we will not lie in the Cash family. We're just not liars. And one of the one child who did see black and blue, I took them out to get ice cream. And so they got rewarded. But they recently came out with a study that said, those who see this dress as black and blue, raise your hand. Those who see the dress as black and blue are the more intelligent people in life. Yeah. And that is totally not true. I totally just made that up. And so, but then slowly the dress just kind of faded away, and the two groups that disagreed and didn't, you know, get along over the dress kind of got back together and started doing life together again. And everything was fine for many years. Until a couple of weeks ago, something else came out on social media, a big debate, and you're smiling, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Big debate that had people separated, don't understand each other, and that is simply, what do you hear, Laurel or Yanny? Okay, and there's an audio clip that was playing, and some people heard the word being said as Laurel, some people heard the word being said as Yanny. Okay, and I've got that clip in here, and it's going to say it four times. All right, so everybody take a deep breath. Okay, massage your brain a little bit, clear your head. Okay, here we go. Be very curious as to what you hear. Here it is.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
I know what I heard. Raise your hand if you heard Laurel. Okay, my people. Yeah, because that's what I hear. Raise your hand if you heard the other one. Yeah. What? We're outnumbered. No, this can't happen. No. We did this in the office a few weeks ago, and the office was split 50-50. Some heard Laurel, some heard Yanny, and one of our office members didn't hear either one, which I won't name names, but they heard Jerry. I have no idea. No idea how Phil Baker heard that. But anyway, even if you look in your bulletin this morning and you look at the title, some of you walked in here and said, oh, Laurel, oh, Yanny. Some of you looked at that and thought, I don't even know what that says. And that's okay. Some of you can kind of train your eyes to see both. And you're doing it right now because y'all's heads went whoop and you started looking down. And that's great. And you may be saying, what does this have anything to do with anything? It's crazy to me how we can look at the same dress yet see different colors. We can hear the same sound coming through the speakers yet hear it differently. We can look at a word in the bulletin and see it differently. When it goes to the scriptures, what is jumping out at you at this moment in your life? What are you hearing God speak to you? In Psalm 107, some things just jumped out to you. Some of you, when we just read Psalm 107, heard His love endures forever. That's what jumped off the page at you. And you saw that theme all throughout the passage, 1 through 9. His love endures forever. Praise God. Some of you even maybe thought of the song, His love endures. And right now that song is playing in your head and you're like, oh, it's going to be stuck in my head all day. Thanks, Cash. Well, it's better than Lady Gaga. You're welcome. Some of you, when you heard that passage, what jumped off the page at you was share your story. Get outside of these walls. We all have a story and we need to get outside of these walls and share our story. Some of you, believe it or not, I don't know if you want to admit it, some of you thought of the holiday Thanksgiving. Did you not? Because this is a passage of scripture that we talk about a lot at Thanksgiving, and you thought of maybe food. I don't know. You thought of leftovers, thought about the Thanksgiving Day parade. You thought about watching the Cowboys get beat. Chuck Anderson. You thought about sweet potato casserole. I don't know what it is. But some things jumped off the page at every single one of us. But this morning, as I often like to do when I preach or teach, I want to take this off. And some of you who have never heard me preach or teach, you're like, what is that? This is our church happy face. And there's Christians all throughout the world this morning, before they're walking into a church building, feel like that they've got to put this on before they can be accepted. No matter what's going on in their life, they could be just drowning and have a lot of trouble in their life. They feel as if they have to put on their church happy face and act like everything is okay when it's really not. So this morning, we're going to take our church happy face off, and I'm just going to throw it down here so I don't step on it. And we're going to get real with each other. Many of us did hear His love endures forever. Many of us may have thought of Thanksgiving or heard share your story. But truth be told this morning, you know what a lot of us heard when we read that passage? We heard this right here. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. And the definition of ebbed is to be weakened, to disappear. Their lives were slowly fading away. And you may think, well, why did people hear that? Why did that jump off the page at them? Because that's where a lot of us this morning are. If we were to take off our church happy face and be truthful, a lot of us feel as if we're roaming in the desert right now. We feel like we're just wandering. We feel as if we're wandering in the desert and there is no end in sight. We don't know where to turn. Many of us this morning, we feel lost. And when we use the word lost, you know where a lot of our minds go? It goes outside of these walls. Well, yes, people outside of these walls are lost. They don't know Jesus. And we need to get out there and teach them the truth and share the good news and evangelize. Absolutely we do. And this church has got to get better at doing that. We've got to get better. But over the next 4 weeks, Mark Hodges and myself are teaming up to do a sermon series called Lost. And we're not necessarily going to be talking about those outside of these walls who need to know Jesus. We're going to be talking about those who are sitting right here in the pews who feel lost. For one reason or another, you feel as if you're just wandering in the desert. You feel like everywhere you turn, there's no way out. You're struggling right now. That's the people that we want to hit on. Because in Psalm 107, it gives us different pictures of people who are wandering in the desert and who feel lost. Maybe it's because of foolishness or just guilt or just things that you've done. But many of us feel as if we're just, once again, lost and wandering in the desert. And this morning, I want to talk about those who feel lost because of no fault of your own. Many of us in this room this morning feel lost because of things that we have no control over. It's not because of something you did or didn't do. Life is just caving in on you. Life is dealing you a hand that's just not a good hand. Many of us this morning are struggling because maybe we just recently lost a job. Maybe we're finding it very difficult every day just to put food on the table for our family. Many of us in here this morning are struggling because we just found out or got news that we've got cancer. Or maybe you found out that one of your parents or an aunt or uncle or cousin or brother or sister is struggling with some health issues. Many of us this morning are struggling, feel as if we're wandering in the desert, because you have addictions in your life and you have temptations in your life that you just can't overcome. Every day you wake up, you feel like you're in that desert and there's no end in sight. Many of us in here feel lost. Maybe if you're a tween or a teen, maybe it's at school. Maybe you just haven't found that crowd that you fit in with yet. Maybe your parents are struggling and it's weighing on you in life. This morning, many of us are lost. Anybody ever gone swimming and while you're gone swimming, you're swimming in the deep end and everything's fine, but then you always have that one friend that goes under, you know, they dive under and they grab your ankle and they start pulling you under and you're swimming and you're like, and then you start to swim up and you're trying to get air and you're like, and they keep pulling you under and you can't breathe. Some of you are smiling because you are that friend. Yes, how dare you? But that's how many of us feel right now in life. Man, we're wandering in the desert, and no matter what happens, that moment when we feel like we can take a deep breath, something else happens. We get some more bad news, and it just brings us under, and we feel lost, and we're struggling. And you know what happens when we're in the desert? You know what happens when we're wandering? The deceiver shows up. Satan shows up, and he begins to fill all of us with these lies that just aren't true. He can take a positive message, a good message, and turn it into something that is false. And many of us are believing those false messages. There was a guy who wanted to send out a positive message to the community, to send out a positive message to people. And so outside of his house, he put up two signs, and this is what it says. You matter. Don't give up. He wanted people to know, listen, you matter. Don't give up. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. Don't give up. You matter. But after a couple of weeks and a couple of months, he started to get some backlash from this. People were very upset with him. He thought, why are they so upset? I'm telling them they matter, don't give up. Because what people were doing was reading it left to right. When it says, you don't matter, give up. And he's like, oh, I see it now. Woo, better take that down or split them apart or something. And so something that was intended to be positive, a lot of people were reading as negative. Boy, isn't that what Satan likes to do with us? Isn't that what Satan likes to do with the promises and the scriptures that God has given us? Satan will come along and he'll bend the truth and he'll start feeding us a bunch of lies and things that aren't true. He did it with Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3 in the garden. He did it with the Israelites who were roaming in the desert. He did it with so many people and nations all throughout the scriptures. He even tried to do it with Jesus, especially when Jesus was baptized. Jesus was baptized in the Gospels, and it says that the Spirit led him in the desert. And there he fasted for 40 days, and he was hungry, and he was tired, and he was thirsty. And guess who shows up? Satan shows up. And he tries to tempt him, tries to bend the truth a little bit and get Jesus to do things that he knows he's not supposed to do or believe things that he knows aren't true. And this is what he said. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." In other words, Jesus, you're hungry. You've been fasting for 40 days. I mean, just eat. And Jesus replied, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." But Satan didn't quit. He came at Jesus again. And it says that the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." See what Satan did here? He took the scriptures and tried to use them in a way that weren't true. He tried to twist the scriptures against Jesus, and Jesus replied, "But it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." But he came at Jesus again. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All of this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Boy, that's one that we struggle with. If I just had more money, if I just had more possessions, if I had more popularity or fame or whatever it is, man, if I just had more, all my problems would be solved. But that's just not the truth. That's a dead-end road, and there's pain waiting for us at the end of that road. But Jesus replied, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." When Jesus was roaming in the desert, and he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was thirsty, and he was hungry, and he was struggling, Satan showed up. But if you keep reading, Jesus was able to get rid of Satan and send him on his way with three powerful words: "It is written." Jesus knew his purpose. He knew who he was. He knew the promises. The question I want to ask all of us this morning is, do we remember the promises that God has given to us? Because those who are wandering in the desert this morning, because of no fault of our own, life has just put us there and we're struggling, do we remember the promises that God has given to us? Because Satan is telling us some lies. He may not be coming to us saying things like, "Turn these stones into bread," but he is saying, "You're alone. You can never be forgiven. You're a nobody." Satan is saying things like, "You will never get out of this desert." For some, believe it or not, sitting in this auditorium right now and all over the world, you know what he's saying? "You don't even belong here. Look around you. These are people that have it all figured out. They have their life in order. You don't. Why are you here?" Which is totally not true. Satan is telling many of us sitting in the pews this morning, it is time for you to give up because you don't matter. And you're struggling because many of us over the past few weeks or past months or however long you've been in that desert. I've talked to somebody this morning, one of our members that said, "I feel like I stay there." What is written? What is the truth? What are the promises? Well, I'll tell you the promises. As Jesus went to the scriptures and said, "It is written," this is what is written to us. For those who are tired and want to give up and feel like you just can't take another step, the scriptures tell us the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. For those who are brokenhearted this morning, maybe you walked in here with your church happy face on because you feel like that's what you're supposed to do. You feel like that's what you have to do to go to church. But inside you're struggling and you're just broken down, brokenhearted. It said, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." For those who are fighting addictions, every morning you wake up, your Goliath is right there in front of you. And more times than not, he is winning. The scriptures tell us that the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. For those this morning who are discouraged, it said the Lord himself will go before you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For those who feel as if there is no way out, there is no end in sight. I'm in this desert. I've been in this desert my whole life. There's no end to this desert. I can't get out of this place. I've been a wanderer my whole life. Every time I turn around, there's more bad news coming. The scriptures tell us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. For those this morning who do feel worthless, who do feel like you don't belong here, it's dead wrong. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are children of God, and he has given us everything. When I was a little kid, I know that some of you can relate to this or have been in this situation before. When I was a little kid, I was in Walmart with my mom. And as a kid, when you're walking through the store, you're so bored. I mean, let's be honest, you're so bored. You're just like, oh. And so I'm walking through Walmart with my mom. The next thing I know, it's this squirrel. And I had a squirrel moment. Y'all remember squirrel? And it was the toy section. And I walk over to the toys, and I'm just like, oh, like a kid heaven. And just looking at all the toys, and who knows how long I was there looking at the toys. But then it hit me. Where's my mama? And so I look down the aisle, and she's not there. And so as a kid, you try to stay calm. You try not to panic. And so I walk to the end of the aisle, and I look down that way, and she wasn't there. And I look that way, and she wasn't there. And the panic's starting to set in a little bit. And so as a kid, you kind of walk down each aisle, and you do this. Nope. Okay. Nope. And then my walk slowly turned into a speed walk. It was like this. Because then I started to get scared. And then it was a jog. And then it was a full-out sprint. Boy, this kid was running down the aisle in Walmart. And I'm just letting it I'm going, boy. I'm going. And then I get to the end, and I still couldn't find my mama. And I broke down on the floor right there in the middle of Walmart. Parents, don't you love it when your kids do that? But just broke down right there and just started crying. Just, oh. Just letting it go. And I'll never forget this couple came to me and said, are you okay? And I was like, no, my mama left me. She left me. She told me she was going to, and she really did. And they're like, here, just come with us. We'll take you to the front. And I said, no, stranger danger. Not supposed to talk to strangers. And they're like, no, come on, we're going to go call your mom. And so they finally get me up to the front, and they're going to page my mom. And they say, what's your mom's name? I'm like, her name is Mama. And they're like, no, what's her full name? And as a kid, you really have to think of that. You're like, Oh, Phyllis Cash. That's her name, Phyllis Cash. And so they're like, okay, watch this.
Attention Walmart shoppers. If your name is Phyllis Cash, would you please come to the front? We have your child.
And as a parent, don't you love that? You're just like, oh. And so sure enough, I'm still sitting there crying, and she comes around the corner, and I run to her. I'll never forget seeing her. I ran to her, and I gave her a hug, and I'm bawling, and I can still remember this. She's laughing, and at the time, I'm like, why are you laughing? But now as a parent with three, I know why she was laughing, but it's beside the point. And I just remember saying, I thought you left me. I thought you left me. And she said, I would never leave you. I knew you were in the toy section. I'm not going to leave you here. If you ever get lost again, just go up to the front, have them page me. I'll come find you. I said, okay, great. And so from that point on, I was at peace. Matter of fact, on a couple occasions, we'd go to the store, and I'd purposely get lost as a kid. I'd be like, okay, down the aisle. And I'd actually watch, be like, okay. And then I'd just go to the front. I was that kid, okay? I was that kid. And be like, I need to page my mom, Phyllis Cash. And they'd be like,
Phyllis Cash, please come to the front.
And she'd come around the corner, and I'd be like, ha-ha, gotcha. Because I was that kid. This morning, and even a comment I've got before the service even started, I feel like I live in the desert. God has not left us, nor will he ever leave us. He'll never leave you. He's there. He's always been with you. And when it goes back to Psalm 107, the passage we read this morning, I don't know what stuck out to you. I don't know if you heard his love endures forever. I don't know if you heard share your story. I don't know if you heard wandering in the desert. And quite frankly, I don't care if you heard Laurel or Yanny, because we know that we all heard Laurel. Stop lying, okay? I don't care what you heard, but I do care that we all hear this, that no matter where you are right now, especially those who are wandering in the desert, maybe this morning you're sitting there thinking, none of this applies to me because I'm not in the desert. But maybe it will next week. Maybe it will next month or some months to come. At some point, all of us are going to be wandering in that desert. And may, no matter what we heard so far this morning, may we walk out of here and never forget what it says in verses 6 through 9. And it says this, "Then they," talking about all of us, "then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." Many of us this morning who are wandering in the desert and feel as if there's no way out. I can't take another step. I am struggling right now and I feel lost. There is a way out. There is a way out. It is to cry out to the Lord. And I would be curious to know, and if you can take off your church happy face and be honest with yourself this morning, when was the last time that you truly cried out to the Lord? When was the last time that you and I truly cried out to the Lord? Because the scriptures tell us and the promises that are true tell us that he will make straight paths for us. He will deliver us from that desert. And so if we know that, my second question to all of us would be, what are we waiting for? Those who are sitting in the pews this morning and I've stepped on your toes. I've stepped on my own toes. What am I waiting for? What are you waiting for? If you're a guest with us this morning, once again, we are so glad that you're here. Pleasant Valley is not a perfect place, but we serve a God who is. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you know that you need prayers. We would love for you to come forward and have prayers. If you don't want to come forward, there's a lot of people to come in front of. We understand that. Our shepherds will be lined up down the aisle. Make sure you step out in the aisle and pull one of them aside and let them know what's going on in your life. Let them know it's time for me to cry out to the Lord. I'm tired of trying to do this life by myself. The world is caving in on me. Every time I turn around, something else is happening. I feel like I live in the desert. I'm ready to get out of the desert. Tell the shepherds and let's pray together. If you've yet to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, don't wait until tomorrow. Let's start those studies today. And I'll close with this. I'll close with a poem that I love, a poem that I've had in my billfold growing up for majority of my life. It's a reminder to me, and I think it summarizes up everything that we've been talking about this morning for those of us who are wandering in the One night I had a dream that I was walking with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one belonging to the Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand and I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, and so I asked the Lord about it. "Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, that you'd walk with me all the way, but I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, that there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, that you would leave me." And he reminded me and said, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you. During the toughest times of your life, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Amen. Many of us this morning need to cry out to the Lord. We know that we're wandering in the desert. It's time to cry out to the Lord and let him carry us. Thank you for listening to me this morning as we stand and sing.